appreciate that. Our theme for this year is a time for renewal. And as you know, we've been preaching about renewing our life in a lot of different areas of our life. And it all begins in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. As we've stated in other sermons, the whole concept is this, is that we need to be sure that whatever we do, that we're doing so in the spirit of our mind. Because what happens is what we think is going to come out in what we do. And so our thinking changes everything about us. And so we need to understand and we need to know that our thoughts are so incredibly important. What are your thoughts about prayer? You know, we're told to pray without ceasing. We're given a lot of things about continuing in prayer. And so what are we doing in our thoughts? Are we thinking about everything that's bothering us? Are we focusing on all the worries and all the anxieties of the world? Or are we focusing on the things of God? Turn to Philippians chapter 4 with me, if you wouldn't mind, verses 4 through 7. And I want to talk about today renewing our prayer life. Now, most of us here today would probably say, you know what, my prayer life's just fine. I pray, I get up in the morning, I pray later in the day, and I pray, all right? But here's the dilemma. It has a lot to do with what we're praying about. It has a lot to do with the condition of our lives as we pray. It has a lot to do with whether or not we're praying with the sense of letting God really have his way in our life and making sure that we're focused on him rather than focusing on us. And so this prayer thing is actually a really big deal, and we want to make sure we get it right because it's one of the greatest tools and it's one of the greatest assets that we have in Christ. And so when we get our praying right, there's a whole lot of other things that are going to kind of just come into play and fit the way it ought to. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 says this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me begin with this. One of the biggest things that we deal with probably in our society is anxiety or worry or things such as that. And if we're left to just trust the things that are around us, whether it be other people, whether it be the government, society, our judicial system, our educational system, the medical world, or any other facet of our society, we're going to be in a mess. In fact, we'll end up in emotional, mental, and spiritual mess because they don't have the answers. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. There I go. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about contending for the faith. And in contending for the faith, the first thing we need to realize is when we're dealing with a lost world doesn't see things like you and I see things. And so there are things that I don't deal with a lost world that I will deal with those who profess Jesus Christ. There are, you know, it's that whole scenario that the Bible tells us about casting your pearls before the swine. It's the idea that, you know, I can talk to you about things that the lost world can't possibly understand. I'm a peculiar guy, I guess, in a lot of ways, but even the whole, you know, a lot of the debates about homosexuality and the debates about abortion and all those kind of things are almost futile debates because we're dealing with a lost society. When you're dealing with saved individuals, you and I can reason this thing out and can discuss it, and we can understand that sin is sin. We get it. But when you're dealing with a lost society, you know, the thing that they need to hear more than the Bible teaches against this or the Bible teaches against that, the thing they need to hear more than anything else is Jesus Christ. They need to know that they have to trust him as their Lord and Savior. And until they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'll be real honest, most of the discussions that we're going to have about sin they're not going to comprehend that. And so when we look at this whole thing, we understand that anxiety and worry is going to plague a nation who doesn't know Jesus Christ. They say that stress is one of the biggest killers in our society. Well, anxiety, fear, all those kinds of things. In fact, I just jotted this down, take it for what it's worth, but I'm told this, 40% of our worries are things that will never happen. 40% of what we worry about is never going to happen. So it's kind of a worthless thing. 30% of our worries are things that have already happened and we can't really change. All right? Things that have happened in the past. Not only that, but 12% of our worries are things regarding criticism by others, mostly untrue. So there are things that, you know, people are just going to say and they're always going to say. 10% of our worries are about health issues that, quite frankly, we make worse by worry and stress and anxiety. So that only leaves about 8% of things that are genuine issues that deserve our attention. However, that 8% would be a whole lot easier to deal with if we could just let go of the other 92%. So that whole concept of fear and anxiety and worry is probably a far bigger thing, that we make it a far bigger thing than what it really is. Those of us who know Jesus Christ, we have a means of dealing with anxiety. We have a means of dealing with these kinds of problems, these kinds of fears, these kinds of worries and concerns, and that means is prayer. God says he can have a relationship with us. We can sit down with him. We can talk to him anytime we want to talk to him. We have something that a lost society can't possibly have. In this passage that we read in Philippians, the whole part of this letter is to help us understand and know how we can find joy in Jesus Christ. Part of finding joy in Jesus Christ deals with this key ingredient of prayer, having a right fellowship and a right relationship with him. You and I both know that the joy you find in your own marital situation, your husband-wife situation, understand that what you find there, the joy is being able to sit down, talk to one another, have company with one another, enjoy being with one another. There is something about that that is pretty exciting. The reason we get married is because we want to be with this person. We love this person, enjoy this person, and we want to be with them. And so what we find is our relationship with Jesus Christ is no different. He wants to be with us. We're created by him and for him. We ought to want to be with him. And so prayer gives us that access to where we can be with him. You know, how do we overcome worry? Prayer. How do we find peace that comes with knowing Christ? Through prayer. We find that our hearts and our minds, when they're focused on Christ, you know, they're focused on Christ because we've spent time in prayer. So prayer is an important thing. So when we talk about being renewed, I think we need to really take a look at our prayer life and make sure that our prayer life is renewed in Jesus Christ as it should be. As I said before, there's good reason why we're told to pray without ceasing. Continue instant in prayer. We're told to give ourselves to fasting and prayer, to have an effectual, fervent prayer life. We're told to watch unto prayer. So if we're going to examine our life, we can't really do that without examining our prayer life. We need to know where we sit, where we stand with Christ in that regard. You know, the disciples themselves realized how important prayer was. When they saw how much Jesus was able to accomplish through prayer, when they saw what he was doing, when they saw that it was an important part of who he was, they said, hey, we need to know how to pray the way we ought to pray. And that was when Christ gave them the model prayer and said, let me give you a guideline for prayer so you have an understanding. And so there was this understanding that prayer has to be a very important part of our life. And so we need to know how to pray. We need to know who we're praying to. We need to know what prayer can do. We need that part in our life. Now, I'm not going to be able to deal with everything about prayer today. I just want to deal with some certain aspects of it that we find in Philippians. But I want you to come away from here today with this, knowing that my life can be more of what God would have it to be if my prayer life is renewed. If my prayer life is the prayer life that it really ought to be. So let's take a look at that. He tells us to be careful for nothing. I think prayer keeps us free of worry. I really do. I think part of the reason we worry so much is because we don't trust God. Because we haven't trusted him to answer our prayers. Because we're not really fully functioning the way we ought to in our prayer life. And until we do, we're going to be concerned. That word careful there has to do with the idea of being anxious. It has to do with that concept of worry. And don't worry about stuff. Don't lose sleep over all these things because God has a plan for you. Be careful for nothing. So the idea is don't be overwhelmed with everything. My wife wouldn't appreciate me telling this, but I'm going to. My wife is a drama queen. Everything is huge. This morning was a good example of that. We get into the car. We back out of the drive, all right, heading to church. We're only around the corner. It's not the end of the world. We're only around the corner. Oh, no! What? Oh, we've got to go back. Okay. I have forgot my glasses. I can't go without my glasses. Okay. Couldn't you just say, oh, honey, forgot my glasses. Let's go back and get them. Everything is drama. Everything is bigger than it needs to be. Listen, it's not the end of the world. I could walk back to the house. It's like just around the corner. All we got to do is go back. But you see, everything is drama. And if we're not careful, we do that in our life. Everything that takes place, man, suddenly it's blown up to be this monstrous thing, this huge thing. The fact is, there ought to be nothing in this world that ought to so dramatize us in that fashion, but what we don't trust it to God and say, God, you've got this well in hand. I mean, we can just trust him and know that God has got something better planned for us. I've got a better home than this one. Nothing that can happen here can take away the things that God has already promised me. Why make such a big issue out of such things? Why fret and why worry about things I literally can't change? And things I can change, I ought to change. So why? And he says, listen, don't get overwhelmed with everything. You still serve a God that's on the throne. He created all these things. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. Why do we get so overwhelmed with everything? And so what we find is he tells us, he says, listen, don't get so overwhelmed about these things. You know, Jesus confirms that. When he gives them the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of things in the Sermon on the Mount that he shares in that same perspective. Let me share this in Matthew 6:25. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Saying, listen, don't lose such sleep over these things. I remember my kids when they were growing up, my oldest daughter especially, because my oldest daughter grew up at a time where we was really, really kind of dirt poor. You know what I'm saying? And so she didn't get anything that was name brand. She kind of dressed pretty frumpy, you know. When she was real little, she didn't know that, but we knew, but just what it was. But when she got old enough that she knew the difference, and she'd come home, she'd say, hey, I can't go to school in this. All the other kids are wearing this. You know, I can't wear these kind of shoes because they're wearing these kind of shoes. And I'm like, well, honey, I can't afford $60, $70 for a pair of gym shoes. I'm sorry. I can't do that. You're going to have to wear these shoes. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, they're $2 at the thrift store. I don't know what to tell you, you know. And so, you know, she was always kind of like, I wish I had something nicer. I wish I could do a little better. Because she wanted to look nice among her peers. I understand that. All of us want to look good. We want to look nice among our peers. But what God is saying is this, listen, don't give any thought about what man thinks. What's important is what I think. And he's saying, listen, your relationship with me is far more important than all of those things. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, he's basically telling them, listen, don't give any thought to all of those things. I'll take good care of you. I'll watch out for you. And just keep a good and a right relationship with me. Follow me and do as I've instructed you to do. And we might have a good fellowship and a good relationship. You know, I think sometimes we get so preoccupied about material things that we forget. You know what? God takes care of the animals. He takes care of the plant life. Why would he not take care of me? Now, I'm not telling you all to go out and quit your jobs tomorrow. I'm not telling you not to be concerned about paying your bills. I understand that we have necessities in life, and I'm not telling you, you know, I'm just going to quit my education and not worry about it. No, I'm not telling you all that. We have responsibilities, and God expects us to put forth our best and to do the very best we can and do the things we can. And I believe in education. I believe in trying to get good jobs, and I believe in trying to do better for yourself in those jobs. My point is this, is we need to trust those things, though, in the hands of God and realize that, you know, God watches out for us. He cares for us. Don't lose sleep over such things. Let God care for you. You know, I feel like a broken record sometimes. But I think it all kind of comes back to the way we think. Remember what we've read? We've been reading in all these other cases of renewal because we're talking about what we think. And it's the very next verse in Philippians here in chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Where is our focus? What are we thinking about? Because sometimes our thoughts get so caught up in all the things of the world that all it does is bring anxiety and stress and fear and worry, and we lose sleep over these things when we need to come back to the place where our thoughts are on the things of God. Things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are right. You know, we spend time with Jesus, we talk with him along the way, and we understand and know his presence. I got to tell you, it just seems like the things of the world kind of go away. It just seems like the concerns and the fears kind of go away. I love the song, and sometimes our people will sing it, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." I think Barb may have sung it just not long ago. And I think about that, and I think how God watches out for all of his creation, even the smallest of the creation. I like this poem. Said a robin to a sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I suppose that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." You know, we forget sometimes. God created us. He made us for his pleasure. Why would he not care for us? Why would he not seek to meet our needs and to provide for us? You know, I think the Lord's presence removes all of our fears. When I can sense him and know that he's there, you know that the Lord is at hand. When I see that and know that, man, there is something extra special about that. At home, my man cave is downstairs. It's right below the family room and the kitchen. It's a pretty good sized room, and it's underneath the kitchen and the family room. And I was down there the other day, and Miss Penny was with me, all right? And we're down there, and Debbie was up in the family room, and she decided because Penny was with me downstairs, she was going to take that opportunity to move some things around and situate some things. Well, I got to tell you, downstairs, when you walk or do anything upstairs, I'm telling you, it's horrendous. It's loud. And she dropped something. I have no idea what it was, but she dropped something. And man, I jumped. You know, it was one of those things where I went like that. And little Penny, I'm telling you, she absolutely freaked out. You know, she just, whoa, jumped. And you know what her first response was? She ran to me and jumped in my lap and cuddled up. Why? Because she knew she'd find comfort there. She knew that that takes away her fears. Whatever it was that caused that, she knew I'd take care of it. Aren't we that way with Jesus? Amen. Ought we not be that way? I mean, we should be that way with Jesus. When we understand and know, you know, whatever the anxiety is, whatever the fear is, I need to understand and know, listen, I'm going to find comfort in the arms of Jesus Christ. We ought to immediately go to him. The problem is we forget that we have such a great resource. And man, we need that prayer time. And we need to understand and know how much God loves us and cares for us. You know, prayer helps me, as I'm sure it helps you, realize the closeness of God. That I can just pray to him. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the world, we get to doing things, we forget God's right here. Right here. You know, I've preached Psalm 23 so many times. And, you know, I like preaching where God surrounds us. He's beneath us in the green pastures. He's beside us in the calm, still water. He is within us as he restores our soul. He is in front of us as he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. He's above us as he anoints our head with oil. He's behind us as he follows us with goodness and mercy. We get that he's totally and completely surrounds us, but we don't realize that so much as we realize it when we go to him in prayer. It's like, I know he's here. I sense him being here. And I realize I'm able to just speak to him and just talk to him. I like knowing that he's close, right here. When Chris, my son, was ill and was in the hospital all the time, just seemed like he was always there. And my wife, Debbie, she would always stay with him. It was like you couldn't pry her away. Sometimes I'd go down there and I'd say, listen, at least just let me stay here for a little while you go home and, you know, take a shower, get some clean clothes, maybe do you some wash, do whatever you need to do. Go home for a little while. Let me spend some time. And then when you're done with all that, you're welcome to come back. And most of the time, she'd go home for whatever length of time it took to do that and come right back. You know, that's just a mom's instinct. But one particular day, she was just not feeling well. She's, look, I'm sick. I'm not feeling well. I don't need to be here because I don't want to make him any sicker. Can you come down, spend the night with him? Oh, absolutely. Not a problem at all. When I would go down there and visit, every time I would go early in the morning, she would always be in bed with him. And I'd say,
Why is it? You've got a whole, down there, they would have a whole big, like a couch bed that you could make up, and they'd sheets and everything. And she could sleep over there, and he'd have his own little hospital bed, which was not big enough for two people. But they would always be squeezed up in that hospital bed. And I'd say, well, why don't you sleep on the couch? Why are you always squeezed up in bed with him? And they'd just look at me and snicker like there was some kind of an inside joke or something, you know? And I'm like, okay, fine. So she gets sick, and she says, listen, can you stay the night? I said, sure. So, you know, come nightfall, I made my bed up, went over there and laid down on the couch, you know, and said goodnight to him, kissed him on the cheek, did all the things it would normally do. And I went and I laid down, and I'm laying there, and just hadn't been laying there very long, and I hear, Dad, are you asleep? No, what do you need? And then he began to just start talking about things that he was concerned about, some fears, some anxiety, some concerns being in the hospital. Before you know it, I had gotten up and went over and was talking to him. Next thing you know, I'm laying in bed next to him, fell asleep. Debbie comes in the next morning, and there I lay in bed with him. And she goes, you know, you've got that nice couch over there, and here you are in bed with him. She knew it didn't require an answer. She just kind of did a little tongue-in-cheek thing, you know. Why is that? Because when we have fear, when we have concerns, we want the loving Father to be with us. That one that we love and that one we rely on, that one we care about. We ought to be that way in Christ. Man, I want him to be with me. I want him to hold me. I want him to cuddle with me. I mean, I want God to be right here. I want the kind of relationship where I know that he's got a hold of me, where he cares for me. Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is no closer relationship than you can have in the Greek than that Abba, Father. It's my Father, one that loves me, the one that cares for me, the one that wants me close. The one that will meet my every need. The one that will never let me go. Folks, why we would not spend time in prayer is beyond me. When we have a Father that loves us like he loves us. And he says, listen, I can overcome your fears. I can help you to overcome all that work. Can you imagine, because this deals with that adoptive issue. Can you imagine a young boy or young girl that perhaps, you know, the parents passed away or they were given up for adoption or whatever the case may be. And can you imagine the anxiety they must feel? And then someone comes along and loves them and cares for them and welcomes them into their home, adopts them into the home and treats them just like they treat every one of their other children. They would never know they were anything but loved and cared for. Man, that has got to be a special relationship for that child to feel wanted, to feel loved, to feel cared for. God expresses that kind of love for us. And we think about that he would welcome us in. Man, why would I ever fear? Why would I ever worry? Why would I ever have anxieties when I understand and know how much God loves me and cares for me? And that I could come to him at just a moment in prayer. You know, it's no wonder we're told in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. He understands that when we're lonely, when we're hurting, that we need people more than ever. And he tells us as Christians, understand that responsibility that we have towards those people that are hurting and lonely and have that kind of fear, that needs that comfort. For him to instruct us to do that, would he not do that with us? Would he not love and care for us in that same fashion, for him to instruct us in that way? So keep in mind and know that he comforts us like no one else can. Takes away all that worry, anxiety, and fear. Prayer reminds us of who meets our needs as well. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Who else would I make them known to? Facebook? Twitter? I got to tell you, there's no one better to make my request known to than God. Because God has the ability to answer that. And God has the ability to grant to me something that only he is able to care for. You know, I'm as guilty of this as anybody else, and I've done it 1,001 times probably. But we have a tendency, when people are hurting or struggling, we have a tendency to pat them on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, everything's going to be just fine. In all honesty, who are we to say that? I don't have the ability to make it just fine. I don't have the ability to fix the problem. I'm just trying to comfort them. I'm trying to give them, you know, some kind of comfort. But when God says, let not your heart be troubled, I got to tell you, he has the ability to let your heart not be troubled. And he has the ability to answer that prayer. And he has the ability to care for us. And I got to tell you, I love a God like that. I love that my God cares for me enough that he will do just that. Why would I not want to spend time with him? Why would I not want to take all my requests to him? Because I understand and know that he can take care of these things. Remember when they were instructed how to pray, one of the things he told them, he says, give us this day our daily bread. He said, let me remind you that you have what you have because God provided it for you. And trust him to continue to take care of those things that you have. You know, the prayer, I got to be real honest. Prayer is one of those mysterious things to me. God knows what I need before I ask it, yet he wants me to ask. God knows the very best for me, yet he wants to hear what I have to say about it, even when I'm wrong. God, give me this. No, you don't need that. How many times have you had your kids do that? I want this. No, you're not going to get that because it's not good for you. No, you're not going to get that because it's not. You're not ready for that yet. You're not mature enough to deal with that yet, or whatever the case may be. God knows. But he still wants us to ask. And he still wants us to come before him. He still wants to hear from us. And there is something so special about those prayers that he stores them up and he smells them through his nostrils on occasion so that he might hear and know, because that's his communication with us. That's what he tells us in Revelation. And so what we find is those prayers are so special to him that he wants to hear them, and very often he'll listen to them again. How cool is that? He loves us so much. He knows what we need, and he can provide what we need, but he wants to hear from us. He wants us to come to him and wants us to share. You know, there are times when I want to do for somebody I love, someone I care for, but I also want a little communication. I want to hear from them a little bit. I want them to know, acknowledge that I'm around, know that I exist. You know, my kids, when they were growing up, I knew what they needed, but I needed them sometimes to come and sit with me. Because, sometimes, through certain ages, moms and dads aren't cool. You know what I'm saying? And so they don't spend as much time with you as they would ordinarily. And sometimes I would intentionally withhold things because I wanted them to spend a little time with me, to sit down with me. I knew what they wanted. I knew what they needed. But I knew what I needed too. I needed them. I wanted them. And you know, God desires for our fellowship. And God desires for us to come before him. Prayer is the means to do that. And so we need to understand and we need to know to do just that. Little poem. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such none can ever ask. Too much. We have a God who could provide more than we could ever imagine. I can't tell you the number of times that I've asked and God has provided me more. There's a little running joke that kind of takes place in my own mind. I don't really share this with anybody, just something that just kind of happens. But God will provide some extra funding or something in my life, and I'm like, something must be coming up. There must be a need somewhere. And sure enough, to me, I see it every time. You know, it's like, oh, so that's what I needed that money for. Oh, so that's what needed to take place. Didn't even know it was coming, but God took care of it before it ever happened. You know, I got to tell you, prayer is such an incredible thing. Second thing I need you to see is this: prayer will bring you peace. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What could hinder our peace with God that prayer could not resolve? Let me throw this one at you. There's a lot that we could throw out there. I mean, obviously sin in our life, obviously strife. And I want to deal with that. What could hinder our peace with God that he couldn't resolve? Could it be strife, maybe even between God's children? Maybe it's family strife. Maybe it's church strife. Maybe it's whatever. You know, we know that God hates it, though. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him," which is like the epitome of bad, all right? "A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." That's the seventh. Here's what I have learned in that, because it's a puzzling thing. I have learned, because I'm going to be real honest with you, I'm not going to pretend like none of you have ever made me mad. Don't pretend that I've probably made you mad as well at times. Sometimes I get downright angry with the way people behave or what they've done. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's frustrating. But here's what I know. If I'll take it to heart to pray for you and to pray for your needs, somehow it mends that relationship in my heart. I begin to think a little differently about you. It's hard for me to be mad at somebody when I'm praying for their needs. If I'm angry for you and I begin praying that God will help you in this or help you in that or take, and I'm not talking about God straighten them up because they make me mad. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. God do something with them. I'm talking about they have some genuine needs in their life that God, I'm asking you to take care of those. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a health need. Maybe it's a family need. And I have found that when I begin to pray for those things, if I get angry with someone, if there's someone not, I don't feel like they're treating me well, I start praying for their needs. And all of a sudden, I begin to forget about anything but them and how much I really do care for them and would really like to see God take care of their needs. And suddenly, that strife goes away. Suddenly, I'm not angry with them so much anymore because I'm beginning thinking, you know, God loves them. That's his child. And I take on a whole new perspective about it. And I'm here to tell you that God will do that. He says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. That's key. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think that healing can be in a lot of different ways. It might be a physical healing, but it might also be an emotional healing. It might be a spiritual healing. But the fact is, when we pray for one another, God can do incredible things in our own life. And it might change the way I think about that person. It might change about the way I think about their actions. It might change the way I think about our relationship. And so it changes who we are. You know, we do that. We need to keep that in mind, by the way, in our own families. I mean, I'm going to tell you now, my wife and I don't always get along because I say things like I've said earlier and she doesn't, you know what I'm saying. So there are times where I get downright mad at her. But my solution is always the same. Start praying for her needs. You know, God, you know that she has a need here in this health situation, or she has a need here in this situation, you know, or that situation. And you know, when I start praying for those things, I realize how much I love and care for her. And it just restores that whole fellowship. Amen. Folks, prayer can change so many things. Have you ever tried praying for your enemy? You know, I think sometimes if we would focus a little differently on how we pray and what we pray for. Matthew 5, 44, 45, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Next time you get that waitress that doesn't really treat you all that well when she serves you, kind of that rude waitress, you know, because obviously we're never rude patrons. But you get that one waitress that's kind of rude, and you say, "Well, I'm not leaving her a tip." Maybe the best tip you can leave her is pray for her family life. Pray for her life in general. Maybe she doesn't even know Christ. Pray for her situation. Pray for anything you can pray for. God, there's things in her life that I'm sure that she needs, and I'm sure there's things that need to happen. And you know what? Take on a whole different attitude about it. And you know what? You'll come away stronger. You'll come away more of what God would have you to be. We need to understand that God wants us to be that kind of people. I'm so thankful that on the cross of Calvary, after all that people had done to Jesus Christ, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." that not the attitude we ought to have? They spat upon him. They stripped him. They beat him beyond recognition. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They cried out, "Crucify him!" They mocked him. They did everything they could possibly do to Jesus. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And all we need is for somebody just to say some little something about us. And all of a sudden, they're no longer our buddy. Now, all of a sudden, we're upset. We live in such a petty world. I mean, I tell you what, I could go on and on about that nonsense. We live in a world, honestly, that gets so offended by the least little things. We ought not be a part of that. And the prime way to not be a part of that is prayer. God, I need to be more of a person in prayer. I need to pray for people the way I ought to pray for people. I need to see lives changed. I need my life to change. I need to be more of what you need me to be. You know, I get it. The disobedience and sin and rebellion are a problem, but it doesn't need to exist in my life. And if I'm not the person of prayer I ought to be, then that sin, disobedience, and rebellion now is dwelling in my life. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And I think prayer gives us back the right fellowship that we ought to have. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to spend time with God in prayer. I mean, could our constant struggles, maybe even in our own life with Satan or with the things of the world, destroy and beat up our peace with God? It sure can. You know, we're very aware of the Satan's attacks. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6. We get it. Put on the whole armor of God. I know that Satan is always out there, and I know that he's always battling. Because of that, I need to have a great fellowship with my Lord and my Savior through prayer. It's kind of interesting in Ephesians chapter 6. He gives us all that armor to put on. And then after he gives us all that armor to put on, he spends a little time saying, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He says, by the way, you got all that armor, but pray that God will give you the strength. Pray that God will comfort you. Pray that God will be with you. Pray, 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 pray. Have fellowship. Ask God to supply your every need. Be what God would have you to be. Spend time in prayer. In all honesty, do we spend time in prayer? And when we do, what are we doing? Understanding that anything can rob us of the peace with God. So we need a prayer life that can bring us back to that place where God would have you to be. Does your prayer life, or is your prayer life in need of renewal? Is it in need of that time that God would have you to spend? Bow your heads with me if you would. With your heads bowed, think about this. When was the last time that you genuinely spent some time in prayer about having a closer walk with God? When was the last time that you actually spent time in prayer about someone you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior? When was the last time you genuinely spent some time in prayer that God would meet the needs of someone in your life that you probably don't get along with all that well? When was the last time you spent time with God in prayer just because you wanted to be with him? To thank him, to praise him, whatever it might be. Or was it just, God, I need this, I need that, do this, do that? Just spend time in fellowship. Do you need renewal in your prayer life? Dear Father, I pray that today to work and move in a fantastic way in our life, in such a way that we couldn't even fathom. Lord God, that we might want and desire to spend every moment with you. That any time we spend speaking with you and talking with you, Lord God, that we cherish that. Lord, renew in us the kind of prayer life that we ought to have. Lord God, I pray today that if there's any other decisions maybe that even need to be made. There may be someone here who doesn't know Christ. Maybe someone here who needs to follow in baptism or church membership or anything, ministries, whatever it might be. But God, I pray that today you speak to our hearts in such a way that we will want and desire to please you and to draw close to you. that we might leave here today renewed in all that you would have us to be. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Please stand with us if you would.